G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
Well, many people dream and fantasize about future events, hoping that these events will bring joy and happiness to their lives. These dreams can be in relation to any number of things, such as relationships, financial circumstances, jobs, careers, or businesses. But what if the dream is realized and things don't play out the way that we imagine? What if the dream brings so many challenges that it could almost be called a nightmare? Today we speak with a woman who always dreamed about meeting her biological parents, and when she finally did make contact, she discovered that the reality was nothing like she had always imagined. And so we hear how she's had to face her reality and find peace and security in her journey of life of reconciling her past, present, future, and her very identity. Ellen, who is our guest today, is known as Mentor Mama on the hugely popular Coffee and Bible Time podcast. The YouTube channel has almost 400,000 subscribers, and thousands of people around the world have been impacted by her life, faith, and love of the Word of God. And it's my great pleasure to welcome from Chicago in the US of A, Mentor Mama Ellen. Ellen, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on the program. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you too, all the way from Chicago. And I said it's a Wednesday edition of 2020, but it is Tuesday your time. So thanks for staying up tonight. Chicago, Ellen, all I know about Chicago, it's a windy city. There were a lot of gangsters there in the 20s and Obama came from there. Is that basically Chicago in a nutshell?
Well, fortunately, there's a lot more to Chicago than that. But yes, it's actually such a beautiful city now. And truly, the time to come is our summer here because they've done so much to beautify the city. And I know that because my husband is a landscape architect and he's been instrumental in helping so many places down there have just beautiful flowers and plantings, and it's absolutely gorgeous. So a great place to vacation.
Well, that's a great advertisement. You need to forward this on to the Chicago Tourism Board and maybe they'll right. make you one of their ambassadors. But as well as Obama, windiness and gangsters, Chicago's also given the world coffee and Bible time. And I know you won't talk about yourself very much, Ellen, but I want to talk about you guys. Your daughters started this podcast / YouTube channel just a few years ago. You now have 367,000 subscribers to the YouTube channel. And as well as that, you do online Bible colleges, you sell Bible journals and study tools. You've got a podcast, an audio-only podcast. You've got the YouTube video feeds, and it's really a full-time ministry for the three of you. Has it surprised you how well it's gone?
You know, it has truly taken all three of us completely by surprise, and I always say that we're living proof that God uses the least of these, because half the time I feel like we don't know what we're doing, and it only shows that God could be leading and directing our path, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I just went onto your website, which is coffeeandbibletime.co. That's right, not .com, it's .co.
It is. Actually, it's .com, but we're just literally transitioned to a new site 2 days ago, and it's not. This is a temporary one for like 7 days.
Okay, so it is .com. So it's coffeeandbibletime.com. But I mean, here's some feedback. Hi, I just want to say thank you for all that you ladies are doing. My wife has just enrolled in your first class of being a mini Bible scholar. This guy says, I'm a Moody graduate, and you girls inspire and encourage my wife to want to grow and learn as well. So again, thank you, and may the Lord continue to bless your efforts to build up his kingdom and honor him. That's a very happy husband right there. Glad that that you ladies are teaching the word. Now, here's an amazing one too from the Philippines. Hi, I'm a lady from the Philippines. I've been a Christian 17 years and was a kids pastor. And though I've been studying the Bible for years, I still felt the urge of knowing Jesus more in my life. still so different to keep learning and be reminded of how important the Bible is. She said, I keep seeing your posts on my Instagram and I felt convicted to enroll in your academy. I'm so blessed by this ministry and I've learned a lot from you, which can help me also in the ministry. Would love to share it with my friends. Still want to keep learning from you. Thank you for your lives.
Oh, that's, I know, that's so sweet. I absolutely love that. I mean, that's, you know, why God has called us to do what we do, because our mission here at Coffee and Bible Time is to help people delight in God's Word, and we're trying to, in our Bible Study Academy, teach them how to study the Bible for themselves so they can be equipped to do it.
And isn't it amazing, thanks to technology, that people in the Philippines who you may never meet, you may never go to the Philippines, Ellen, you're touching someone's life. There's a little lady right now in the Philippines reading her Bible, using your study tools to study the scriptures and have a revelation of Jesus. And you know what? I'm glad that you guys are as big as you are, and I'm glad other Christians are as well, because let's be honest, there's a lot of stuff on the internet which is not healthy. There's a lot of stuff on the internet which is destroying people's lives. And so, thank God for you and your daughters, Ellen, who are just being such a blessing through technology today.
Well, thank you very much, and praise God for all he's doing. He's at work.
Yeah, amen to that. Now, I did want to talk about that just to frame you, that, you know, obviously you're someone that God is using. You know, you've got a family, and you guys are being a great blessing, and you've got a great platform. But I always say to people, Ellen, everyone's got a story. You know, I say this to my kids. If you go past someone on the street who's homeless and they just look destitute and they look like nothing good's happening in their life, I always say, that person's got a story. You know, and it's worth finding out people's stories. And that goes for successful people too. We sometimes look at successful people or people God is using in church on a Sunday or people like yourselves, and we think, wow, their lives are all together. You know, they must have had an easy run. I wish my life was like theirs. I wish I'd had an easy run as well. So, Ellen, I really want to dig into the background of your story today and find out a little bit about the journey that you've had to walk down, particularly in the last few years.
Sure. Well, I was really blessed as a young child. This shows you how God blesses you before you ever even have a relationship with Him. But as an infant, I was very blessed to be adopted by two Christian parents. They were both school teachers, great sense of humor, amazing people, and I always felt so loved by them. But as an adopted person, at least for me, this might not be true for every adopted person, but inside, I always had like this longing, this desire to know where I came from. You know, I always wanted to know, like, what genetic factors, you know, how are we alike? How are we different? What was from my environment? What kind of people are they? Do they know the Lord? So all those things were always going around my mind. But back when I was given up for adoption, it was called a closed adoption. So at that time, it was basically a sealed document, and I was not allowed to know specifically my original birth certificate, who my birth parents were. And so,
can I ask, Ellen, how old were you when you found out you actually had been adopted? When did your adopted parents choose to tell you?
Well, that's a great question, because I actually don't know, but I always grew up knowing that I was adopted. So I think they must have done an incredible job.
Yeah. Okay. So you kind of just always knew, and you always had this secret desire or this longing, which I think is very normal, isn't it, to connect to your birth parents?
I think it probably is. But, you know, in my heart of hearts, the last thing I ever wanted to do was to cause my adopted parents pain, because they're the ones that raised me, sacrificed for me, poured into me, introduced me to Christianity, all of those things. And so I never wanted to hurt them. So I kind of just kept it stored away and thought, well, that's that. But two coinciding things happened. The first is my parents, unfortunately, both passed away when they were younger. My dad passed away at 58, so he was already gone. And then my mom passed away of a brain tumor when she was 72. So my parents were both passed away, and then I got this letter in the mail from our DMV, which is our driver's license vehicle facility, and there was a little slip of paper. It was to renew your license, but an extra little tiny slip was stuffed in there, and it said, sealed adoptions are now considered open. If you want to know your original birth certificate, you could send a letter to this address and they will give it to you. So here I am, you know, my heart's beating like 1,000 miles a minute. And I'm like, I think this is the time, because it just kind of was laid there before me. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to send the letter in. And so I sent the letter in.
Can I ask you, Ellen, before you did that, as a Christian woman, did you pray and say, God, should I do this? Is this a good idea? Or you were just so like caught up in the moment. You're like, oh, I'm just going to go for it and see what happens.
You know what? I absolutely did request prayer. I prayed for myself, but I remember being in my mom's small group and saying, ladies, I need you to pray. Because I even with both of those things being sort of put on my plate, I still wrestled with it. So I did pray for quite a while and finally discerned that, you know what, I am going to take that step forward. So
okay, so you launched out.
Yep, so I sent the letter in, and before I knew it, I had received a letter back. And what I got back was my original birth certificate, which said my birth mother's name. My birth father's name was empty. But then they also sent a document from the adoption agency, which was basically an interview with my birth mother at the time that she gave me up. And there were all kinds of fascinating questions that they asked her that I never even knew before. So even from that document alone, I learned so much.
Yeah, okay.
So we're in an age where when I received this letter, so I'm trying to think how many years ago that was now, maybe 5 years ago-ish, about 5-ish years ago, I would say. You know, we're in the age of Facebook, and I thought, oh my, all I have to do is put my birth mother's name in there and I'm going to find her. And sure enough, I put it in, boom, it was right there. And I looked at her profile picture and I was like, oh my goodness, I even look like her.
Yep.
So I was over the moon. I was so excited, like could hardly, you know, help myself. And the first thing I did was go to Facebook Messenger. And I'm like, you know, dear so-and-so. And I explained to her how everything had happened, because I knew she would feel off guard and not understand because she no longer lives in Illinois. And so I explained how the laws changed and that it was now open and that I got this document and that I was very excited to know her. And then that's when the waiting began. And I waited and waited and waited, and I never got any response in Facebook. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to write a handwritten old-fashioned snail mail letter.
Yeah.
So I wrote a whole letter because I was like, well, maybe she doesn't check Facebook Messenger. You know, she's older. Like maybe she just doesn't even know about it. So I got my, you know, pen and paper out, wrote up a whole letter and mailed it. And then I waited and waited and waited. And I want to say at least 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks had gone by and I hadn't heard anything. So I kind of just, you know, resumed myself to the fate that, well, maybe I'm just not going to hear anything. But then, lo and behold, one day I went out to the mailbox and there was a letter. And it had her name in the return address. And I mean, I came running into the house so excited. I was like beyond myself. And it was kind of crazy because it must have been like a Saturday because everybody in my family was home. We were like all in the living room. Everybody had a chair and they were like, what's going on? And I was like, I got a letter from my birth mother. And I was so excited. Wow. So I opened it up.
Hang on, Ellen, can I just ask, I know a woman never gives her age away, but how old were you when this happened? How many years had you waited until this first contact with your mum?
Oh, so I'll just say I'm 58 now, and I was probably maybe 52, yeah. 53. So
yeah, 52, 53, and the first time in your life you've had any communication with your birth mother. I mean, that is a big moment in your life, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it really was. So I was just ecstatic, and I opened it up, and it was about like a 4-page handwritten letter, kind of small paper. And I started to read, and I was maybe a paragraph into it. And, you know, I'm sure my family, like, I was so excited, and I'm sure they saw, like, my shoulders start to hunch, and I was like, oh. And I read it, and then all of a sudden, I just broke out sobbing.
Oh, man.
Absolutely sobbing. Because she had written in the letter that she would not be able to get to know me. And she had actually met with a counselor who advised her to write this letter so that I would get some closure. Which I think is interesting because the counselor who maybe recommended that isn't an adopted person, because you can't wait your whole life for this communication and then get a letter like that and expect it to give me closure. At least for me personally, it didn't. Maybe it does work for other people. But I felt devastated. I think part of it too, though, is that I kind of falsely idolized this potential relationship. You know, it's almost like this princess, you know, Disney factor that, you know, you think she's going to be the, you know, the most amazing, beautiful woman that you've ever met, and all your dreams are going to come true when you meet her, and she's just going to be like, oh, my long lost daughter, and tell me all about your life. And literally, she asked me no questions. She basically said, this is the only communication I can have with you. And so for me, it was like, you don't want to know anything about me at all? Like, nothing? Like, so that in and of itself hit me, you know, very, very hard. And I have to say, though, once I got through sort of that traumatizing experience, that was when I allowed God to use that circumstance in my life to gain a greater and deeper appreciation for who God is, and really for the amazing gratitude that I should have for being adopted into His family, because His family is for all of eternity.
Yeah.
Right? Even if I find her now and she lives 20 more years, that's 20 more years with her. But I kind of went through this whole grieving process of getting over that to really having a greater, fuller, more exciting appreciation for who God is, and the fact that God reaches out to us when we were still yet sinners, because I didn't become a believer until I was in my 30s.
Wow. Okay.
So I just was so grateful for how God had sort of orchestrated that, allowed me to experience that. He gave me, I guess, in the sense, some closure in that at least I know now, you know, it gave me the opportunity to move forward.
Yeah.
And
but can I say, Ellen, I'm really sorry that you went through that. Like, it's, I know, and you've processed this so well, and we're going to hear a lot more about how you process that in the next part of the program today. But I'm really sorry you had to go through that. But so much respect for you, just listening to you, because what came out of you in that crisis, in that trauma, was the Word of God, was a revelation, like you said, that God's your Father, you've been adopted into His family. And you know, to our listeners today, maybe you've got a story similar to Ellen's. Maybe you have always had a fantasy in your mind. I mean, sadly, Ellen, I think a lot of people dream about marriage like this in a fantasy sense. Mm. You know, if I can just get married, you know, and a lot of girls, maybe as little girls, dream about meeting the prince charming on the white horse. And sadly, in our society, Ellen, not many men ride horses anymore. So I don't know how many of those dream princes are out there. But there's a lot of men out there, but they may not be that perfect prince. But or maybe we all had other dreams of pursuing a career or moving or doing something, and stuff just hasn't worked out. We'd love to hear your story. We're going to open up the talkback lines today on 1-800-316-316. Or you may have a question for Ellen, how she journeyed through this and how that can relate to you. Maybe you need some help or some advice on how to journey through your own trauma. But we are going to take a short break. And after the break, we're going to hear how Ellen just really picked herself up from this trauma and this really, really difficult situation she was in, and how God has helped her journey through this this stage of her life. We are hearing the story of mentor mama Ellen from the hugely popular and successful Coffee and Bible Time YouTube channel and podcast feed. And she just shared with us her journey of life, how she'd always fantasized and imagined about meeting her biological mum and how her life could potentially get better as a result of that. But just the shock and really the trauma of finding out that her biological mum didn't want anything to do with her. But Ellen, I want to really go now to the part of your story, how God picked you up from that shock. And because really what you faced then was a massive rejection, wasn't it?
Yes, it truly was. And I think, again, as an adopted person, and I want to speak for myself, not for anyone else, but I think deep down inside, you do feel, I felt a little bit rejected as an adopted person. Like, why didn't they want me? Or why? And since I had no context, no information whatsoever, you just don't know. You think the worst, but in actuality, so many times people have done what's best for the child. So, but again, it's kind of maybe, you know, feeling a little bit sorry for myself, thinking, you know, those types of thoughts. But, you know, how God used that was, I was, as I mentioned, I've been involved in this mom's group doing Bible studies every year together for over 20 years. And having that type of support, you know, God speaks to you and uses, you know, whatever you're studying to feed into you during these difficult times. And
but even before you jump there, can we ask, the day you read that letter and you start sobbing and your family are there, like, what did you do that day? What happened that day? How did God even start the healing journey back then, on that day when you read the letter from your biological mum?
You know, I think two things. It gave me appreciation, a greater appreciation for the family that was sitting right in my living room. These people, and I did not want to give stress on my children, and I feel almost bad that that happened, but I didn't know it was going to play out like that. And then also for my adopted parents, realizing that these were two people that really, really did want me, right? So, I mean, it's just a lot of different emotions that are all happening at the same time when you go through something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what you did is you focused on the positives. You focused on the people in front of you. You focused on your now deceased adoptive parents who had loved you and cared for you. And I guess you made a choice that day to not just dwell in the negative.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure, and I do remember that it was extremely painful, and it did take me quite a while to process it. I even had, you know, a counselor that helped me work through it all, which was incredibly helpful. And but it's the combination of all those things, friends, and God's word, and, you know, prayer, and really latching on to, I think, what are greater and bigger things in Him than this particular moment of, you know, sadness.
Absolutely. You know, Ellen, years ago, there was a thing in the Christian world called, you know, the faith movement, and many of us were affected in a positive way by faith teaching, and it involved a lot of being positive and declaring positive things and the Word of God. But talk to me about, as a Christian, how do you think we should deal with grief? Do you think we should pretend it's not there and just be all faith? Or do you think there's a way and there's a time to actually process grief and loss and really let yourself go there?
Yes, I think it's absolutely essential. And I think until you talk about it, you process it, it's just going to stay bottled up in there. And I think probably eventually somehow, some way, whether it might not necessarily be positive or healthy, it can come out. I think it's really, really important to process that so that you can move on, so that you can see the bigger picture, so that you don't become too, what's the right word? Like, feeling sorry for myself and not be able to move past it. So, yeah.
So like it says in the Ecclesiastes, there's a time to weep, isn't there? There's a time to grieve, and there's nothing wrong with it. We even see Jesus in the scriptures weeping over Jerusalem. We see him also weeping when he went to raise, Lazarus from the dead. As much as he was in faith and he knew that a miracle was going to happen, when he saw the sadness in the family of Lazarus, he wept in the end. So, you know, I think Christian maturity is actually being able to express our emotions, isn't it? And that is in a positive sense when there's joy, and also in a negative sense when there's sadness. I think it's really healthy just to express those emotions, like you said, and not let them be bottled up.
No, you're absolutely correct. And I'm always amazed too, and I don't know if you want to talk about it now or later, but God provided something very unexpected after all this transpired, like maybe about 4 or 5 years after that. Something interesting happened.
Well, come on, don't leave us in suspense, Helen. What is it? What happened 4 or 5 years later?
So what's kind of crazy is I had, long before this, filled out Ancestry DNA, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with that there, but it's where you put your sample and then you can see who you're related to. Well, my daughter, so I had done that after this had happened, and it did, it showed me an exact match for my birth mother, but nothing about my birth father. And this, you know, then a couple of years later, one of my daughters did the 23andMe, which is another type of DNA sequencing to see your ancestry. And lo and behold, someone came up on her list. And she's like, "Are you familiar with this name?" And I was like, "No." So she sent a message, and to this person, it says, like, you know, that we're related, you know, who do you know, blah, blah, blah. And my daughter comes over to me and she goes, "Mom, I think I just met your half-sister." Only it was on my birth father's side.
Oh, wow.
Not my birth mother. And so I would say over the last 2 years, we very, very slowly have been communicating. We started just communicating through the app. And then we moved to like Facebook Messenger, and then we moved to phone texting. And then about a month ago, we had our very first Zoom call.
Cool.
Where I actually got to meet her. face to face. And again, it just, God's grace and his provision have just been so amazing. And she was so excited to get to know me.
Yeah.
And that's what feels kind of like so overwhelmingly beautiful. And I don't want to say it's full circle, because who knows what's going to happen, you know, in the next 5 years. But I am just so excited to be sharing our lives little by little. Unfortunately, by the time this communication had occurred, I literally missed my birth father's death by 1 month.
Oh, wow.
So that, like, it was another roller coaster. It was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I finally had a chance to figure out who that was, because the name was not listed on the birth certificate. And then it was too late.
Mm.
But God has a plan, and I'm so excited to be getting to know my half sister.
Yeah, and you've experienced love from her, and acceptance and joy, which is what you thought you'd get from your mum, but now you're getting it from your half sister. And that is the blessing of God, Ellen. If you've just joined us, this is Mentor Mama Ellen from the hugely popular Coffee and Bible Time YouTube channel and podcast, coming out of Chicago in the US of A. And Ellen is really sharing her heart with us today, her life story and her journey of dealing with her reality when for years she harbored a fantasy. Well, as I said earlier, Ellen, I'm just so impressed by you faced real trauma. You faced a second rejection. I mean, like you said, you've always felt a sense of rejection from your birth parents when you're adopted out. And then you've reached out to your biological mama and she's literally just said no, no contact, nothing. You couldn't even meet her face to face. And that's a really big rejection as well. But I'm just so impressed, Ellen, that you just went to the Word of God and you dealt with this trauma and this shock and this loss biblically. So I want to really dig into that a little bit more. Tell us how you did that, Ellen. Like, what is really the secret to you journeying through this trauma that you went through?
Yes. You know, I think one of the most important things for me was being part of a Bible study group. And for me, this was a mom's group, but we were doing a Bible study. And I just feel like God always uses whatever parts of his word that you are studying to give you what you need to get through a difficult time. And he doesn't waste any season of your life, whether it's good or bad. And so during that time in my life, being part of this group, it held me accountable to staying in my Bible study. And especially, I like to, like, on my own, when I am feeling stressed or wondering how I'm going to get through things, I really prefer to look at the Psalms, because it reminds me of how big God is, so much bigger than anything that I may face. And in particular, I always try to remember Psalm 139, because, you know, it reminds me that God made all the delicate inner parts of my body. He knit me together in my mother's womb. And so regardless of whether my birth mother chose to keep me, God still wanted me. He created me as his living being. And so I think going through this type of a situation, it's really, really essential to stay in tune with God's word. Again, I had the group where they saw me going into this. I was allowed to, you know, I've shared with them afterwards how difficult it was. I had people praying for me through that entire process, and I'm sure that had a huge impact on it as well.
Well, but even that, being part of a faith community is really putting the word of God first, isn't it? Because the Bible's so clear about this. And in the West today, so many people don't want to go to church anymore, but it's so clear. Jesus said, I'll build my church. Paul wrote most of his epistles to churches, not to individuals. Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling together. So you being a part of a faith community and humbling yourself and asking for prayer and needing their love and support, that is actually putting the word of God first, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, most definitely. And I just hope people will find a place within their own communities and churches to get plugged in, even if you take just a tiny little step or find a mentor. And that's one of the things too, Andrew, is that in this group that I've been in for 20 years, I had mentors that poured into me. These are women who have been there, done that. God has worked in their lives, and so they're able to impart such knowledge using the scriptures to back up, you know, how they help you through these situations. And so I would also encourage people to find a mentor.
Yeah. So you've been mentored, and now you're mentor mama.
Yes. Yes.
But Ellen,
I'm so grateful to God for that.
Oh yeah, it's a blessing. It's a blessing having older mentors, like you said, and like you, I've really initiated that for the last 20 or 30 years of my life. Just older men who just can speak into my life, older pastors who can encourage me. But you know, Ellen, I don't know about you. Have you observed a lot of Christians when they do face trauma or challenges or real hardship? They sort of go off the rails a little bit, and they don't turn to the Word. They turn to other things. They might lose the plot or stop going to church or backslide or start drinking. Have you observed that some people just don't deal with trauma and shock and loss very well?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know I have some family members who kind of respond in that way. And I think even, you know, in other crises in my life, I think sometimes the initial reaction is doing some of the things that you mentioned, and then it's kind of like, okay, I need to get my head back on straight. Remember, you know, that God is with me. He's going to get me through this. And hopefully that once you've been through it, you can help other people then too that are struggling, who maybe, you know, aren't handling it in the best way, and recognize that and be able to help them and encourage them to kind of get back on track.
Absolutely. And do you think the reason that you really dealt with your shock and your trauma and your reality in such a Bible-based way, do you think that's because for such a long period of time you had been feeding on the Word and living in the Word yourself? Do you think it just came out of you because that's who you are?
Yes. Yes, most definitely. And when you have a relationship with Christ, it's kind of like, you know, he's your friend. And when you're going through something in your own personal life, who do you go to? Your friends, right? So during your prayer time, or being real and honest with God and explaining, like, why am I going through this? Or I don't understand, that God wants us to reach out. He wants, like the Lamentations, that it's okay to pour our hearts out, to be disappointed. But again, kind of like the Psalms do always at the end, then kind of reorienting yourself and remembering that God is in control, and I am going to trust Him to get me through these circumstances.
Amen. So let me ask you, Ellen, in your Christian life, you said you got saved in your 30s. From then until now, is there one revelation from the Word of God that has just brought great change to your life that you can really think of? Like, what is the greatest revelation Ellen has had from reading the Word of God since you were saved until now?
I would have to say it's from Psalm 23. And this is one thing that I love to tell people, because sometimes as parents, we are planting seeds in our children. And this is a scripture verse that I memorized as a young child, but I did not start putting that scripture to work until I really became a believer. But it was there. Every single word in that entire psalm was deep down in my heart. And now, almost every possible circumstance that I'm going through, there is some part of Psalm 23 that I go back to. And recently we had a guest on our podcast who I love just gave this great idea of taking Psalm 23 and putting your current circumstances into it. So we commonly say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." well, the Lord is my provider. God, I'm struggling right now with my finances, but I know you will continue to provide for me. And so I just thought that was such a great way of kind of, you know, using the scripture to help you apply it to your current life as well.
I love that. So personalizing the scriptures to the circumstances that you're facing, that is so powerful, isn't it? And for me, Ellen, you know, as a new believer, especially, I started doing that too. I would put my name in the scriptures. So for God so loved Andrew that he sent his only begotten son, that if Andrew would only believe in him, he would not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is what actually changed my life. I got a revelation of God's love. You know, I got a revelation of God's grace and his power in my life by putting my name in the verses. And it can sort of sound a little bit self-centered, can't it, or self-obsessed. But I don't know about you, but personalizing the Bible has really helped me deepen my walk with God and my revelation of him. And I think a genuine revelation of the Lord gives you a larger heart to love others anyway. So it doesn't make you self-obsessed. It probably makes you more of a servant anyway.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. And, you know, scripture memorization is something that I just would encourage. And you're never too old. You are absolutely never too old to memorize, because you just never know when you're going to be in that circumstance where you want to be able to use it. I can remember my mom, my adopted mother, died of a brain tumor. And I remember when she was, you know, in her hospital bed about to go in, and they were testing to see if the tumor was benign or not. And just saying, "Mom, would you like me to say Psalm 23? And she was a believer, and you could see almost just her shoulders go back and reminding herself that, okay, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." So just, it gave her such peace, and you could just see almost the stress and anxiety
just lift off her, yeah. You know, Ellen, this is what I love about you and your daughters. You guys are the real deal. You guys are all about the Word of God. You're living it. You're living it in the good times, and you're living it in the challenging times as well. Can you just tell us briefly the story of Coffee and Bible Time? Like, what happened? How does a mom and two daughters go from being just a suburban mom and two daughters in a Bible study group to having almost 400,000 subscribers on a YouTube channel and thousands of people listening to your audio podcasts, downloading your Bible study tools all around the world? Tell us the story.
It's a crazy, crazy story, but Coffee and Bible Time really got started with my two daughters, Ashley and Taylor, and they had an idea for making an app. So back then, you know, all apps on the phone were really starting to come in, and they developed this game. And they came to their dad and myself, and they said, we really, and I was playing this game with them. And they're like, "I think we'd like to see if this could be an app." And so we talked it all over as a family, and we're like, "You know what? Let's check into it." So there was a company out in California, and they're like, "We love your idea. You need to come out here, and we're going to make it happen."
Oh, wow.
And so we went out to San Francisco. We made three different trips out there designing the app, everything. And it was, we were very excited about it. But then we just had a sudden shift. I actually got sick. I got an autoimmune disease, and I became nearly bedridden. And it took them like 9 months to figure out what was wrong. And Apple was going through this big change within their software. And in order for us to get this app updated once again, it was going to be more money, and we just didn't have it. And we're like, okay, you know what? God allowed this somehow for a reason. Well, one of the greatest impacts that came out of that is when we were in California, what they said was, okay, when you launch your app, you need to have a really good social media platform. Start a YouTube channel, get an Instagram, all these different things. And that way, when the app comes out, you have somebody to tell about it. So, like, cool. So Ashley and Taylor, they started off with just a you know, funny, goofy sister thing. And then one day Ashley posted a video on her prayer journal and it just boom, took off. And it was right then and there that she realized, oh my goodness, there is a niche here on YouTube that's missing. And that was teaching the word of God to that younger generation. Because at this time they were in middle school and high school. Now, you know, Ashley's married and expecting a baby, and Taylor graduated from college. And so anyway, long story short, like, so we were prepared in that way. And then that's how it all started. And so again, you look at this same example of, you know, why we couldn't, you know, figure out what, when it was happening, is like, why is all this happening? You know, we felt like it was God's leading to do this, but then this falls through. And yeah, that's how it started.
Amazing. And as I said, almost 400,000 YouTube subscribers now, thousands of people listening to your audio podcasts. And I'm sure it will continue to grow and grow and grow as more people hear about it. But well done, Ellen, and well done to your daughters. But again, what I hear in your heart is you guys are just all about the Word of God. You're not just faking it. You're not just pretending. You're not just hyping people up with a bunch of, you know, your opinions and your ideas. You're pushing or encouraging people to study the Word of God. And I just think that's the kingdom right there.
Oh, well, bless you, and thank you for all you're doing as well.
Well, yeah, but today's about you, Ellen. But I just want to ask, what is the future? Do you guys have any plans, or are you looking to launch into a new initiative or something, or are you just going to keep organically growing Coffee and Bible Time?
You know what? We have just have been really, really excited about what we just finished in December, and that is our Bible Study Academy that you mentioned. So for all of last year, every single month, we came out with a new course as part of this academy that will take someone who doesn't know anything about Christianity to introducing them to the storyline of the Bible, the foundations, the Old Testament, New Testament, learning how to do word studies and so many things that you would could ever want to know about the Bible, and so much more than you ever even dreamed or imagined was included in it. And so that has been the incredible journey that God has had us on over the last 12 months. We're just trusting Him now for His provision. We have a prayer journal that, and this is a whole another story, but I had been using a prayer journal for years that Ashley watched me use. And when she got older, she created her own prayer journal. And so we've ended up creating and producing both her journal and my journal, which we have available on our website, and they're available on Amazon, and they've really, really taken off. And we've just been so encouraged that the people are building their prayer lives. Because I don't know about you, Andrew, but I don't want to get on the other side of heaven and be like, oh, I could have, you know, God could have used all of those intercessory prayers for His glory that I missed out on praying. Like, we're here now. We know prayer is communicating with God and that it has power. And so that's really one of our, probably our other thing that we're just really trying to encourage is prayer.
Well, for our listeners who don't really know what a prayer journal is, just tell us briefly, what is a prayer journal? How does it work?
Yes, absolutely. So the prayer journal walks you through this process. I think what some people are familiar with is the ACTS method: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. But we've kind of modernized the words to being more simple, like ask, and praise, and thank, and confess. So it basically, you start with praising God, and we have different prompts in there that people can look up all of these different characters of God, many of which are found in the Psalms as well, but to look them up and find all these things that we should be praising God for, because he is omnipotent, omniscient. He knows all things, and it just could go on and on. So there's always something we can and should be praising God for. And then the same thing, walking through confession and thanks. And then finally, the last section is ask. And this is the section that I was so excited about when I started prayer journaling. And that is, we have a space in there that you can put pictures. And, you know, over 20 years ago when I started doing it, the pictures of my kids are when they were really little. And I look back at the types of prayer requests that I prayed for them back then compared to now. It's kind of, it almost becomes like this diary. But I've always thought of it as a gift that I want to give my children to be able to say. And so I've written it, their names, you know, on the sections of their pictures. And I've said, this is my gift to you. Someday I hope you can read it and see how God was at work in your life through intercessory prayer. So that's the ask section. So really the prayer journal is kind of walking through all those sections.
Love it so much. And they can access this on your website, which is coffeeandbibletime.com. That's coffeeandbibletime.com. If you've just joined us, Ellen is Mentor Mama from the hugely popular Coffee and Bible Time YouTube channel and also podcast feed, as well as an online Bible Academy. They've got prayer journals, Bible study tools on their website. And we really honor and thank you today, Ellen, for sharing your story. If you've just joined us, Ellen shared her story, how for years she lived in a fantasy, thinking that if she met her biological mum and dad, that her life would improve and get better. But she was really rocked by the news that her biological mum wanted nothing to do with her. But she journeyed through that stage of her life so well, just looking to the scriptures, looking to the house of God, to the people of God, to prayer, and to the love and support of the Christians in her life. And Ellen, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and also just for having the courage to share your story with us and share your heart with us across Australia here on Vision Christian Radio.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Thank you so much for having me. I love your program, and I really wish you well.
Yeah, and we just pray that God will continue to use you and your daughters, and sounds like you've got a son-in-law there and maybe another one on the way soon. I'm sure that God just keeps using your family to touch people all across the earth. Once again, Ellen, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.